Councillors, the time is now 6:30 and I will declare the meeting open. I'll advise the public that in accordance with Council's Code of Meeting Practice, Council meetings are recorded and webcast. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a Council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and are not opinions or statements of Council. All persons should refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the Council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of the land we're meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Darkinjung people to the south and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. Now move to the Council prayer. Councillor Dunn.
The advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of the city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice, and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The apologies. We've received an apology tonight from Councillor Watton. It's Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to request a leave of absence for the 5th of June through to the 13th of July.
Okay. Councillor Moores.
Yes, I'd like to an apology for the 15th of June for one day.
Just 15. Yep. Okay, moving that way, Councillor Hawkins seconded Councillor Grine. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. So we're moving that way, Councillor Sander seconded Councillor Hill. All those in favour? No debate. So in favour, Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grine, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, and Jerd, and Savelle. And those against is Councillor Painter and Councillor Olson. No. Yes. Yeah, you can still vote on it. We just did. So we're just changing to that. So, with that noting the votes, I'll declare it carried. We'll now move on to disclosures of interest. Are there any disclosures of interest? Councillor Jerd?
Thank you, Mayor. I have one for WI32/2022. I, Jessica Jerd, declare the following interest, non-peculiarly interest, less than significant conflict for the reason that I have family members that may still be on that committee.
Uh,
that the right one to do?
And you're remaining in the chamber, yeah.
Yes, yes, sorry. Yes.
So, did you get the report number then? So, it was WI... Oh, okay.
It's WI32/2022. Yeah, the postie bike.
No other disclosures. We'll note the disclosures of interest. All those in favour? Unanimous. Petitions? No petitions. Public address. So we'll now call Ryan Goundon to speak on report PE 29/2022. So thank you, Ryan. We have 3 minutes.
Good evening, councillors. Mayor McGarvin, planning report PE 29/2022. Wish to provide the following information for your consideration. As disclosed in the report, closed Mayfair lots in North Rockbury, part of North Rockbury, are currently owned by the Sands of Merriweather Estate, which runs through four town sectors. In addition to these lands, Merriweather owns similar remnant lots within the Newcastle area, where those involved proceeded in gaining approval of similar proposals, wherein they sold and consolidated the remnant strips to the adjoining lots. Merriweather had no desire to retain these lands. Previously, Special Councillor supported and stated the preferred approach of trying to involve all adjoining lots in this sector. However, this was tried and failed ultimately to the two difficult coordinates from 13 property owners. As a result, the Merriweather decided a future request to acquire part of the landlord's rights is dependent on the owner acquiring the whole section. This puts that section in the hands of the locals, who is better able to coordinate with the neighbours and resolve issues locally, hence my application. It should be pointed out that Council has previously supported a similar application for 38 Mitchell Street, North Rockbury, for approximately 150 metres of the lane lot from where the Merriweather and subsequently sold a part to the neighbour. This action converted what is an uneconomic and unmaintained strip of land into the opposite, thereby satisfying the objectives of zone and the EPA Act. An important point to make that is a bit muddy in the report is that the land lot is currently private land, not quasi public land, and current users have no existing historical rights being current title. The doctrine of adverse possession does not apply. I believe that my application has merit as follows. The current closed road is a no-man's land that is inconsistently maintained or cared for by adjoining owners. The Merriweather receipts appear to provide no maintenance or care. There is little evidence of structural encroachment where adjoining owners are using the laneway. It is mostly for the storage of rubbish or parking vehicles. As a result, it is demonstrated not compatible with the current amendment. The functioning and scale of the rural village currently does not promote an orderly economic use and development of the land. The EPA objective. This proposal is practical commencement, a process that will see conversion of these lands by consolidation to the adjoining lot, thereby achieving these very objectives. Contrary to this report, there is no increase of owners of fragmentation of the land. Each action of the land is consolidated into the purchase of lot. The size of Merriweather's lot will diminish and ultimately disappear from ownership. In this section, subject to DA, but retain ownership in unaffected sections until similar actions happen. Because of the sheer number of potential lots, ad hoc process is the best way forward. Ad hoc is not necessarily bad. It has already started.
Hold there for a second. Councillor Hawkins has moved for an extension of time. Seconded Councillor Moores. All those in favour? Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grind, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, Painter, Jerd and Saville. Those against, Councillor Olson. I'll declare that carried. So you have one more minute.
There's already stated in Council approving previously a report by 30 Avenue Street has no ill effect. 30 Avenue Street is now being maintained to a higher standard than the current lot 13. The social and economic impact are positive, doing nothing, maintains an unethical lease in his or her situation. On behalf of the owners of Mitchell Street, I implore you to approve the application so that the laneway issues can proceed to a betterment of the community. All I want, as a father of two kids, is a little extra land for my kids to play on, as so much of our backyard has already been taken up by septic sprayers, which we only have because of Cessna City Council and Hunter Water have failed to provide us with sewer.
Thank you for your speech. I will just clarify there that providing of the sewer is not a responsibility of council, and it's something that council has been advocating for on residents' behalf for many, many years, and stand with the residents out there in asking Hunter Water to provide the sewer. So, yeah, they're a bit misguided on that part. But I will ask councillors if there are any questions. There's no questions. Thank you very much for your... Councillor Sander.
Thank you very much, Ron, for your... Thank you very much, Ron, for your contribution tonight. Those 13 lots that you spoke about in regard to the other residents out there at North Rothbury, now, what sort of agreement did you get with those as far as ticking the box and making them... And do you have that in writing, Ron?
No, but I do have the previous one where they paid $500 deposit for each.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no other questions. Thank you very much for your presentation. Now we don't we deal with that now? No. I think one's 28, one's 29, isn't it? Aren't they? I think that's a typo, isn't it? Speaking on report P29 as well, Leanne Sim. Sorry, we can just hold on for a second.
Okay. Hello, my name is Leanne Sim. I live at 16 Thomas Street, North Rothbury, with my husband Tom, and we've lived in the area for 27 years. We would like the boundary adjustment for the laneway for numerous reasons. We have two boundaries with laneways, and we are maintaining the laneways. The lanes are not maintained by Merriweather Estates. We would also like to legally park caravan on our property, not the road, and not on someone else's property, which happens to be Merriweather Estates. We would like to stop the bad behaviour in the community of vehicles in the lanes, unregistered motorbikes, four-wheel drives, driving up and down the laneways that are adjacent to my property. It is private land, not public land, or access land as suggested in a submission. There is a precedence from a previous adjustment at 37 Mitchell Street, North Rothbury. We would like this adjustment as Merriweather Estates will only sell the whole laneway areas in my block due to previous issues with difficulty of coordinating multiple owners and mortgages. In their council report on page 151, council has quoted the objects of the Act as outlined in section 1.3 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, in particular which requires development to promote the orderly and economic use and development of land. This land has become a no man's land where vehicles, cars and boats are stored, rubbish is left, items of personal use such as wood piles, excess household items and clearly rubbish with a rusted out trailer filled with rubbish and overgrown grass, and I've supplied photos to the members. Council has also reported on page 151 and 152 that the dimensions of the private laneway are irregular and largely unusable, that the fragmentation of the laneway into two separate ownerships is not an orderly use of the land, and is also noted no measures are proposed to ensure that ongoing access and maintenance of the land is established. Yes, the laneways are very unusable and have been neglected for a very long time. Currently, the maintenance of the land is not established and is not maintained by Merriweth Estates, which is maintained by some neighbours who hold pride in the neighbourhood. Council has stated in the report, page 152, that it is not in the public interest. The laneway adjustment is, if approved, our neighbours will be approached to buy at cost the particular area of the laneway that is adjacent to their land. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillors? No questions. Please thank Stephen for the vote. We'll now move on to deal with report PE 29 2022. Councillor Sander. Councillor Sander is moving alternate recommendation on the screen there.
Certainly, we'll defer the report, and the dot point number two, the council requests that the general manager continue negotiations with the applicant and landowners with a view to facilitating the transfer of existing laneways to individual owners, adjoining owners.
So is there that seconded, Councillor Hill? So speaking to that, Councillor Sander.
Yes, thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I feel great sympathy for the people out at North Rothbury. This has been going on for so long. You just couldn't believe how long it's gone on with Merriweather Estate. We need to get the boundary adjustments done properly. I know it's going to take some time, but we need to certainly have open communication with all the parties, Merriweather Estate, Council, and the landowners out there, so that we can get a resolution to this. Everybody's entitled to have a suitable land area for their families to grow up with. Certainly out there at North Rothby, we have the issues with septic systems, pump outs, we've got all sorts of things there. And that does restrict the amount of space that an owner can have and be able to play with their kids in their playgrounds, in their blocks of land, and they shouldn't be restricted with this. And if Merriweather Estate, it is an unsightly site out there. I've been out there many times, and it's overgrown. Nobody looks after it. It needs to be sorted, and I hope with this resolution, we've deferred it so that we can go back to the all the stakeholders and see if we can get some resolution to this, and then hopefully move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Morris.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I agree with Councillor Sander. Also, you know, motorbikes are flicking up and down. Kids on dirt bikes going as fast as they can. It then also becomes a safety hazard as well, as far as I'm concerned. And I just hope that we can keep batting on to the water board to try and get this area sewered. We are trying, for people that are here from Rothbury, we have been trying for a long time, but it takes a long time to get replies back and forth. Thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Now move to consideration an adoption of all reports by In Globo. Councillor Dunn, moving that. You just tap your...
Thank you, Mayor Savile. Having read and considered the report in the agenda related to items CC34, the use of Martha Arts and Cultural Centre by Curate Putjung Aboriginal Corporation, CC35, nominations for community representatives to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Advisory Committee, CC36, positive covenant for partial areas at Cessnock Performing Arts Centre, CC37, domestic violence strategies and policies, CC40, investment report, April 2022, CC41, disclosures of interests in written returns, CC42, 2022, resolutions tracking report, CC44, 2022, changes to the general purpose component of the financial assistance grant, WI 27, 2022, tender T 2022-08, Carmichael Park new sporting facilities, WI 29, 2022, Kitchener Poverty Park draft plan of management, WI 32, 2022, request for sponsorship and fee waiving Australia Postie Bike Grand Prix, WI 36, 2022, minutes of the local traffic committee a meeting held on the 19th of April 2022, and CO7 2022, PE 16 2022, Cessnock City Companion Animal Management Plan 2022 to 2026, that council adopt the recommendations as printed for those items.
Thank you. Are they seconded? Councillor Burke. No debate. We'll now put those items. All those in favour? Unanimous. We'll now move on to Mayoral Minute. I will move Mayoral Minute MM9 2022, the minutes of the Organisational and General Managers Performance Review Committee meeting held on the 18th of May 2022. Minutes have been circulated at that meeting. This is to allow us to move forward in the recruitment process for a new General Manager. Speaking on that, Councillor Olson.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Sounds like the hypocrites are still continuing here with this committee being chosen today by our mayoral minute. When we selected the committee, Councillor Jerv was not allowed to be a member of the committee because she hadn't been on a councillor for more than a couple of months. But here we have selected a committee of councillors where you're the only councillor, Mayor, that's been here for more than a couple of months. We've had one term. The rest of picked are all new councillors. So I say that's hypocritical of what this council decided when Councillor Jerv wasn't allowed to be a member of the committee. And what I also see as being hypocritical is taking myself off that committee, because I'm the senior councillor here, having served under many different general managers, been through many selection processes with general managers, and not being put on that selection committee when we have a general manager performance review committee, which I'm part of, and I'm not on that committee. I can't understand how this council can operate this way and have one idea for Councillor Jerv and other ideas for Councillor Olson. I think is... It's clearly not serving the best public interest of this council when you're picking a general manager using three new councillors that you said you wouldn't have a new councillor on the committee. I think you are all hypocritical, and if this gets through tonight, I'll be ashamed of this council for leading this way.
Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Olson's misunderstood what the minutes reflect, because the When the organisational structure or the organisational GM performance review committee was elected, that was elected based on all councillors sitting around this table, and yes, it was discussed about who should be on that committee. What you're referring to, Councillor Olson, in the minutes, is the recruitment panel. It's not the actual committee. The committee's still formed. You are still on that committee.
Every other selection committee has been the gentleman's review committee. Why is this different?
That's not a point of order.
Isn't it? Oh, okay.
Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The recruitment panel was today discussed by the overall committee and those that were in attendance, and four panel members were chosen. There was also a representative of local government New South Wales at this meeting, so guidance was taken from that person that was at the meeting. And it is my understanding, I'm sure, that the General Manager or the Director of Corporate and Community Services may be able to correct me if I am wrong, but the recruitment panel can be made up of any councillor, and it comes down to a discussion from the overall committee. And that discussion took place today, and those that attended the meeting come up with a way forward of four appropriate people. And of course, the discussion was around the mayor and the deputy mayor, and that was actually a suggestion from local government New South Wales, and then discussion took place between the other councillors. So I just think it's important to note that Councillor Olson has not been removed from the organisation and general manager's performance review committee. He is still on that committee. What's been formed within this committee is a recruitment panel that will then go forward, as we've discussed many times, don't want a general manager or potential general manager being interviewed by 8 or 9 people. So therefore, a recruitment panel has been chosen, and the recruitment panel has been chosen from the committee that they best think that will do us the best job.
Thank you. Do you have a question?
I have a question, Mayor. When we have picked a general manager before, did we use the general manager's review committee to get the final two applicants to this council? This is the first time we're doing it this way, correct?
Hi.
Shut up. I'm not talking to you.
Councillor Olson, that's inappropriate.
Well, so it's inappropriate. You're talking to me too.
Inappropriate commentary on this, and I'd ask.
Yeah,
well, I'll return to order in how we deal with this.
I won't say shut up again.
I would have to take your question on notice because I do not know the history of how the council has recruited all previous general managers.
Can I change the question? When we picked our last general manager, did we use the whole general manager review committee? You were on the committee.
We used at the General Manager's Review Committee, which was a committee at the time of four councillors. But, in regards to your first one, I'd say...
So this time we are changing it because you don't want Councillor Olson on there, that's all.
So we've finished questions?
I'll answer that.
Thank you. Councillors will now put the mayor on minute. All those in favour? Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grine, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, Painter and Saval. Those against? Councillors Olson and Jerd. I'll declare it carried. We'll now move on to motions of urgency. Are there any motions of urgency? Councillor Jerd.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a motion of urgency with Sandy Creek Road repairs and improvements to be made a priority, as it has become so dangerous. The road is damaging cars, Drivers are driving on the wrong side of the road, and I feel like more fatalities could arise. Just this afternoon, another accident...
Sorry, so is this still in the motion? Or
yeah, because...
Is this the wording of the motion, or is this the debate on the motion? What's
wording.
So the wording of the motion, if we could just go back to...
Well, it'd be motions of urgency, Sandy Creek Road repairs, an improvement being made a priority as it has become so dangerous the road is damaging cars and drivers are driving on the wrong side of the road. Could that not be?
And so that's the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you now
elaborate?
Explain?
Yep.
No, so we don't speak on the motion itself. We talk on why this is urgent.
Okay, so this is urgent because this afternoon there was another car accident on it where there was a helicopter emergency pulled up where a motorbike went underneath a car. This is a 100K road that half the residents can't even drive 100Ks. They're doing 20Ks and driving on the wrong side of the road. I can't see how this is not an emergency to look at.
There's a limited amount of detail in this motion that doesn't outline what repairs in what section,
how the whole road.
Councillor Jerd, I'm speaking.
Okay.
That doesn't outline what the repairs are, the scope of the works, how they would be funded, and what other works would need to be deferred that council is currently undertaking to deal with these things. So I would think a report would need to come back on that and to understand what we're moving and how we're paying for any of these things before any of this could occur. I would suggest that we are currently in the setting the operational plan for the next council period, which does include works on this. If you're after a report on what can be done now or questions about it, I would suggest you contact the director or put in a notice of motion about this item and/or discuss it when we discuss the operational plan setting in next month's meeting, or we discussed at the meeting a fortnight ago, the extraordinary meeting when we were talking about that then. So I don't think this motion is urgent and could be dealt with in an urgent matter tonight to actually achieve what you're after.
Could I speak a little bit more,
please? There's no time for debate on this.
Okay, can I say at the end of the meeting, I have paperwork for all of you that's got 40 emails about complaints about this road.
So I would suggest you talk to the director after the meeting and the other councillors, and I'm sure we will consider it as part of the operational plan setting. So I would rule that the motion does not meet the criteria of what would fit a motion of urgency under the Code of Meeting Practice. We'll now move on. To report number WY18. We'll now move on to report number WY18-2022, Cooper and Charlton Streets section intersection. Councillor Olson.
Yes, Mayor. I've read the report. I'm not sure of the motion. I just want a couple of questions answered before I put my motion up.
Okay.
If I can get that. First of all, I'd like to know, as the report states, there's no pipework damage under the road. Will you be apologising to the general public that you told the road was damaged because of pipe breaking?
I don't recall the conversation.
We don't want you to read it out there. You put it on Facebook.
Is that a question?
It's a question. I'm asking a question. If you want to interrupt. Part of your comments was there is a pipe under the road that kept creating damage under the pavers causing the cracks. Now that's you put on Facebook. Are you going to apologise for saying that to people when you never knew that was true?
Councillor Olsen, I would have only made comments on anything based on the information, the best information I had at the time.
Who gave you that information?
That is my response.
Who gave you that information?
I do not recall, and I do not recall the comment. So
I've got it there.
So we're not here to debate my social media post, Councillor Olsen. We're here to debate an agenda item, and do you want to move something on this agenda item?
We're also here to make sure everyone tells the truth.
Councillor Olsen.
I've got it there, so you want to complain about it, do it.
Councillor Olsen, are you going to move? You have the floor. Are you going to move an agenda item, or are you going to ask a further question before we move an agenda item?
I have a number of questions I want to answer before I'll move the motion. Okay? Now, we are getting an assessment done. Is that, when will that assessment be completed? How much is that assessment costing us? When you do, I can't debate the motion when I haven't put the motion up. I am asking questions.
Would someone else like to move a motion that so we can actually enter into debate at this stage? So Councillor Dunn is moving the recommendation. Seconded Councillor Sander. They want to speak on moving their motion at this stage?
Thank you, Mr. Mark. Fundamentally, what we've got here is a problem that we know it's a problem. Ultimately, there was an operational plan that was adopted 12 months ago, and councillors that have been here for 22 years should know by now that if you're going to put something in an operational plan, you have to actually move an amendment and put it there. So given that, we're in a position now where we have an intersection that's failed. We know it's failed. We need to know what the problems are so we can fix it. And I'm personally not going to throw money at a problem that I've got no idea what is exactly wrong with it under there. And we don't know that if we put some kind of fix on that problem, that it's not going to fail again. So in my mind, this is the only way we can actually understand what's gone wrong, whether it's, you know, with respect to Huddle Water, whether it's something that the contractor has done when they've done it and it's failed. We don't know. So we can't go ahead and just patch it up if we don't know what's wrong. And this is ultimately the only way we can actually fix the problem and know that it's fixed.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Olsen.
Now, I have a number of questions first. The cost of the independent assessment is how much? And when will we have that report?
Question for Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So until this report goes through, we haven't let any contracts or anything to understand what that cost will be. But we would expect if we did go out, we would get something back within about 2 months.
We haven't started assessment. You're saying we haven't started the assessment. That's presumably somewhere saying we've already started the assessment.
If you read the report, Councillor, it talks about that we once known from an independent investigation, but we need the funds in order to start that investigation.
So what you're saying is...
Councillor Austin, sorry.
What you're saying is this $100,000 you want in operational planning is to do the assessment, not to do repairs.
No, Councillor, that's not what it says. It asks for a budget allocation of $100,000 to the intersection, and that would include the assessment and repairs.
Okay. Can I ask a question then? Why can't our staff do the assessment?
Our staff could do the assessment, Councillor, but we're thinking that if we get some independent assessment, then that it might actually help us understand that what we're thinking is the cause of the problem is the problem, so that we can address it in one go.
So, okay. I'm amazed you've got that stuff. You don't use our stuff to do it. If it was built to specifications and it was stated in that report, one of the reasons the pavers were too big, why do we use those pavers?
I wasn't here at the time, councillor, as to why we chose those pavers. All I can tell you is what one of the potential causes of the failures is. One of them is potentially the size of the pavers that were chosen at the time.
One of the things I'm concerned about is if our staff are saying pavers are the wrong size, we're going to have to replace them all. Is that budget allocation of $100,000 enough to replace all the pavers?
So is that another question?
Yeah.
To the director?
Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, without preempting what the outcome of the investigation would be, it may be that in the interim that the pavers are no longer there. That may be an option in order to get the intersection working and make sure that no more pavers fail and cause potential safety concerns at that intersection.
Okay. And my next question is, did we oversee the construction of that by making sure that the compaction rate under the pavers was done correctly?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So I'd have to take that question on notice, Councillor Olsen, just because I wasn't here at the time and I don't know if we did it in-house or let the project management out to a third party.
When you get that answer to you, can you detail organised and did you get any compaction rate testing done, please, so we know if it was done properly or not.
Councillor Olsen, can I just at this point remind you that questions of this nature are not here to debate the director on the contents of the report and should be submitted in advance of the meeting in proper orderly manner in accordance with
what we're in practice. What? Can I ask questions?
I've just made my statement.
I've got a question. What are we going to do when we get our assessment done and we find out we need more than 100,000? When do you expect to be able to find the rest of the money and complete the project? Repair it.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm unable to answer that question because we don't know what the cost of the treatment is yet, so we don't know if it's going to go over $100,000 or not. If it did go over budget, though, we would return to Council with, at the assessment stage, to let you know what we're planning to do and what the estimate of the cost would be.
Okay. Well, I'll speak on the motion now. I'd like to add a dot point three to the motion that council bring back the assessment and repair actions which should be taken to this intersection and a time frame for completion. I don't need a workshop, I just need a report. The reason I'm asking that, because I don't see anywhere why we've delayed starting the assessment, because there's nothing in this report that says the assessment has to wait on this report. It could have been started a long time ago, and I'm disappointed that we actually didn't start after it started failing to find out why it failed. What was the problem? Was it us? Was it the contractor? Did we not follow proper protocol? Did we not use the best equipment? Did we not use the best gear? Did we not do the best compaction? All these things should be in a report that should be easily defined and be able to make sure that we've done everything right. But it's failed miserably. And some of the answers I've heard why it's failed ludicrous. It's all different places. It's like, and it's just also what we need to make sure too, when we do fix it, we put the dot in the middle, not on the side, so people can get around it. It's crazy at the moment. People are just going over the top of it. But we need to be able to fix all that as well. It's just, at the moment, it's the biggest laugh of the community is our dot. And it's a shame that the previous council that created the problem didn't try to fix the problem. And it's left it to this council to find the money to fix the problem. Because I did raise that last year at the budget, and I got told not put nothing for it. So let's hopefully get this report done and assessment done as a matter of urgency and get find out what's wrong so we can get that intersection fixed.
Okay, are the movers and seconders, so Councillor Dunn and Councillor Senda, happy to take on the dot point? Councillor Dunn?
Yeah, can we... can that read, can Council bring back a report on the assessment and repair actions?
Yeah, happy with that, Councillor Sander.
Yeah, just a quick question. Sorry. Is it the general manager that has to bring back the report, not Council?
Yeah. Okay, no. I think so now. Councillor Moores.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Olsen, we delayed this. If we spoke about this, and it was preferably to be held back, probably this is why nothing's been done in the report, is because you were absent, I believe, obviously under present domestic circumstances. We was wanting you really to be more involved in it than just running out there and people making decisions. This has been your baby for a long time, and I feel that you should be involved in this, and let's get it right this time instead of just trying to throw stones at everybody. It's a problem. We know it's a problem, but centering the dot, I don't know about that because I've got pretty big knowledge of trying to do roads and over my period of lifetime at work. But the bollards are not centered on that center that I've had a look at. And if you centered that dot smack in the middle, you'll run out of room. You will not get the swerve because the bollards are in the way. So the bollards would have to come back in and make the footpath a lot more smaller. But there is a... I think it'd be better if we just formed and had a meeting over this and let's get in the room in there and work it out and get you here as well, Councillor Olsen, and let's try and get this done properly instead of firing the bullets at the Director of Infrastructure because obviously he's pretty much like the new councillors. He doesn't know what went on and neither did we. Thank you.
Councillor Painter.
I think, Mr. Mayor, look, everybody here wants this fixed. There's no doubt about that. The only thing I have with dot point three is repair actions. There may be more than one option as to what could be done, but we all want a permanent option. So whether it's smaller, stronger pavers or cement or whatever the option is, I'm not an engineer, but if we can just have repair options, that will be permanent or solid.
So was that a request to change the word actions to options?
Yeah. Is it, if there's only one, that's fine. But there may be more than one.
So was there the mover and seconder are comfortable to change that? So now we're changing it.
Yep.
Okay. No further debate. We'll now put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Before we move on to the next agenda item, I will just read out a statement from Council's Code of Meeting Practice, .9.17, the first sentence of that, which says, The councillor or council employee to whom a question is put is entitled to be given reasonable notice and the question, and in particular, sufficient notice to enable reference to be made to other persons or to documents. Now, I'd ask all councillors to take that into consideration when they come into council meetings with a list of questions on agenda items. I'll now move on to the next item for debate tonight is report GMU 12/2022. Moving that way, Councillor Burke, seconded Councillor Dunn. Speaking, Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to briefly support this motion before us tonight, because this is, I guess, the grand sponsorship program will be really good for tourism. We hear a lot that, you know, we do a lot for tourism, we do a lot out the vineyards, but this type of program and grants and sponsorship will support all businesses in Cessnock, Wollombi, Curry, Greta, Brenton, or everywhere. And while we might be having an influx of people visiting the area, and concerts for one have started back up and other events, our local area is still recovering from COVID. We had a lot of businesses that were closed during COVID, like there was everywhere. So although we are still getting people coming back to visit the Hunter, or visit Cessnock and the Hunter Valley, businesses are still hurting. And this sponsorship program will allow more events to take place, and it's going to attract more people to visit the Cessnock local government area, which then just has a flow-on effect, as said, to our local businesses. And I just want to congratulate the Economic Development Manager, Mr. Chadwick, and the team, because we are extremely lucky and fortunate to have someone like that at our council. And I really commend this report, and I do hope that all councillors support it.
Councillor Olsen?
Yeah, just a clarification first, Ed. The $50,000, we're taking it out of the $97,000 we were allocated to the tourism-related activities, is that correct?
Yes.
So we're reducing it, yeah. I just wonder, how much money do we give tourism? How much money do we put up? How much money should we be putting into tourism? Because what does tourism help? How does it help the local ratepayer? Now, there's jobs out there, I know that, but not all jobs are full-time jobs. There's jobs out there for people that live in Cessnock as well. I'm just concerned that we keep putting money into tourism, and tourism doesn't put nothing back into the roads. Tourism doesn't put nothing back into our parks. There's no guarantees that tourism will help. This money will help our community in Cessnock itself. I'm concerned that we have the Tourist Information Centre there. It costs us $300,000 to $400,000 a year. How much money do we put into tourism? What is fair? And what is fair for the tourism operators out there who have 1 million beds slept in every year? What's fair for them to put back into their own promotion? Why should the council be the one propping them up when we don't prop up every other business in the community? We don't prop up the local hairdresser or the local plumber or the local electrician. We don't help them in their advertising. We don't help promote them or sponsor them. We don't do a lot of ourselves of using local suppliers as well because of different reasons. So I'm concerned about putting money into how much money we should be putting into tourism when tourism isn't putting nothing back into the community as a promotional of themselves to help pay for our roads. Like, if they all put in $1 for every bed slept in, there's $1 million. $1 million a year that they can promote themselves with. We wouldn't have to spend $300,000 or $400,000 on Tourist Information Centre. They could do it all themselves. If they put in $10, how much would they have then? You know? But it's not... $1 is not going to hurt their business. You go and buy a concert ticket and it costs you $150, say. You don't know where that money goes. You don't know who's getting that money when you buy the ticket. It's not going to make any difference to the person buying the ticket. if they put a few dollars on that ticket to put into the roads, to put back into the community. And I think that's where the problem is, us putting money into tourism, and the people of the community are saying their roads fallen apart, and saying, why do we keep supporting them? We don't support the locals. And that the tourism doesn't put money back into our roads. It puts extra traffic on our roads. It puts extra congestion on our roads. It puts a lot of pressure on a lot of things around the community. So I'm not in favour of having, just keep giving money to tourism, got money to tourism. We're putting in nearly $500,000 to tourism, and that's a lot of ratepayers' money that could go into roads. And I would think that the vineyards would rather us spend that money on roads as well, but just as much as our community in town would. And I'm sorry, but I can't support putting more money. I would totally spend the whole fund myself. I wasn't in support of it when Councillor Doherty put it up, and I've never been in support of it, and I won't change tonight.
Councillor Moores.
Thank you, ma'am. Councillor Olson has been away for a couple of meetings. If you flick over into the next page, you'll see a graph there that a lady came and did a speech, and it tells you on the top line, that is the accommodation and the tourism, how much it brings to the township. Thank you, ma'am.
Councillor Burke, in closing.
Yeah, that's okay. If I have a right reply, that would be wonderful. On page 114 of the agenda, which Councillor Moores has just alluded to, there's a graph. But most importantly above that, there's some critical information that the public should be aware of. It talks about the visitor economy within the Cecil local government area. It talks about the accommodation food services is our highest employing industry sector, with 2,589 full-time equivalent jobs and an annual economic output of $474 million. And I'm not quite sure how Councillor Olson came up with $500,000, but if this council is investing $500,000 into tourism, and that tourism has an output of $474 million, that's a pretty good investment. And also, don't agree with Councillor Olson in that tourism doesn't help every ratepayer. 1.1 million people visit this town every single year. They buy cups of coffee from the local person that owns a coffee shop. They buy sandwiches from the person that owns a sandwich shop. There's locals that own the big stores as well, like KFC. They shop. They spend money in our town. Money goes back into rates because the majority of the businesses that are out there now have had to have a DA. And Councillor Olson's been here long enough, he should know that there's developer contributions that go towards roads, that go towards parks. So it happens. So I go back to your objection before about the truth. It's so important that the community knows the truth, and what you've said isn't factual, because information, money does come from DAs, from tourism, and it goes into our roads, and it goes into our parks. A lot of the people that own the tourism sponsor sporting groups. They sponsor Rotary and Lions Club. They put in just as much effort into the local government area than anybody else. And if you take away tourism, you take away our town. Our town thrives on tourism. You walk down the street on a Saturday morning when there's a concert and you see the cafes full. You see people walking the streets. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that something that this council should encourage and embrace rather than deflecting and being so negative about it? I'm not quite sure what's so fearful of tourism. It's $500,000 that Councillor Olson's thrown out by us investing in our local economy. $474 million of an output. It's detrimental to this local area that we have tourism. We thrive on tourism and it provides jobs in this local town. The local cafe would not be able to survive just on Cessnock people buying a coffee. But tonight we're asking for $50,000 to be invested into a program that's going to allow tourism operators, organisations, different groups to have events, to have conferences, to have whatever they want to, within reason, of course, of the program, to allow this town to thrive even more. And I 100% am behind this.
Thank you. We'll now put the report. All those in favour? Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grime, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, Painter and Saville. Those against? Councillors Olsen and Gerd. I'll declare it carried. We'll now move on to report PE28 2022. Councillor Sander, moving an amended resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I would basically, this is the a duplicate to the other DA we spoke of earlier in the evening, and an amendment is that the council requests that the general manager continues negotiations with the applicant and landholders with a view of facilitating to transfer of the existing laneways to each individual adjoining owner.
And the first point of the report to be deferred.
The report, certainly the report be deferred.
Seconded by Councillor Grine. Any debate on this item? No debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. We'll now move to report CC 36-2022. That was in Globo. CC 38-2022, Mayoral and Councillor Fees, Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Was there the additional amendments there?
That's a different...
I can read that out for you if you'd like, everyone.
Yeah, if you could read it while we're just bringing it up.
My amendment would be for two additional dot points to the resolution. Point number four is that the fees for the mayor and councillors are set at the maximum rate set by the tribunal each year for our current category for the remainder of this council term. And point five is that the deputy mayoral allowance be set at $1,200 for the remainder of this council term, with the mayoral fee adjusted accordingly.
Seconded, Councillor Dunn. Wait for it to come back up.
Just looking at the point three there, point three does seem to mirror point five. Perhaps point three could be removed, and point five could be removed either.
Point three could be removed.
Yeah, numbering adjusted accordingly too.
And in the new point three, just after the word remainder, I think there's an extra that doesn't need to be there.
Remainder of this council term. Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Speaking to it.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, the two amended dot points there are in generally just to simplify this process. The Council will receive information from the tribunal year to year on the adjusted rates for councillors' fees. And I believe, and this amendment is just to simplify the process so that this decision does not need to be repeated additionally each year. In earnest, we are just going to move these two amended items to automatically accept the tribunal's suggested payment rates so that we can do it this once and then not have to be concerned with this point again additionally every year for a process which we are specifically just adopting a recommendation from the tribunal. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Alston.
Yeah, just a question on that. If we, if that's, is that legal to be able to set it for a term of council?
General Manager.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Alston, I believe it is legal.
I'll be voting against this motion because we're trying to hide behind what we're doing. We're trying to hide behind the fact that we're going to get a wage rise every year. Now, if you go back to May last year, we gave ourselves around $6,000 wage rise. In March, we give ourselves $2,500 for super, and here we are giving ourselves another $1,300 now wage rise. So that's nearly $10,000 in 12 months, which is nearly a 60% wage increase. It's an amazing amount of money when we're only getting less than a 1% increase in our what we can get off the ratepayers. I don't know anyone else out there that would know that, what sort of increases we've given to the councillors, but I'll certainly be telling people what we've done over the last 4 months and what we've achieved. When you think about it, each councillor...
Sorry, councillors, if we've all just focused on the discussion going on at the moment.
When we look at each councillor's cost per year, at this current time, it is approximately $28,000 per year just for allowances and our super. That $28,000 is 14 ratepayers. 14 ratepayers, complete rates born. When you look all into it, you're looking at it's costing out increases on this council over the last 12 months is nearly $140,000 cost. Now, that's an enormous amount of increase in a time when we are struggling for finances and struggling with roads. And all we seem to do is keep having this excuse of you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. Well, I don't care what sort of money I get here. I've never done it for the money. When I was first took on council, I picked up my overtime shift to work and earned more. At one overtime shift a month, earned more than what I did in council. And it wasn't for the money, it was for the community I did it for. Now it seems to be people wanting to create anyway a permanent income to make a wage out of it. And it's just getting a big burden on this council. Now, we've got staff out there that are asking for a 2.5%, 3% wage rise. Are they going to hear about our 60% increase in 12 months and they're going to say, well, they get that much, why can't we get more? You know, it's going to flow through this council. We're not showing good leadership by continually increasing our wages, our allowance is what it is. Because councils get on top of that, they can get fuel allowance. They can get babysitting allowances. There's other costs to the council for a councillor. And it's just disappointing when you look at it, just to cover our costs, 200 ratepayers' rates are gone, just to cover us sitting here. And our time frame has been reduced in council meetings. Like, we used to have two a month. We never had a sit-down meal. We had never had anything like that. And now here we are, wanting more and more. And I think this is all about greed, and we should be setting good leadership and saying enough's enough. Our campaigner's independence was we will free the wages, the allowances of councillors and mayor at this term of this council. And here we are tonight voting for another increase after we've already put 2,500 on top of what we get. Voting for this increase, and they're going to sneak it through for the next two years so that people don't know what increases we get. And I think that's too sly for this community. I think we should be open and honest with everything we do, and let the community know that we're here to lead the community, not to take their money. I think it's a sad indictment of this council.
Councillor Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's never a good time for politicians to get a pay rise. There's a couple of points I'd like to put out. We get a vote on this for ourselves, it's done by the Independent Commission. We as councillors have the opportunity to, you know, if we so wish, to donate that money to various supporting groups and charities in the community, which I've done. But my concern is that if we don't pay a reasonable remuneration, is we'll end up with people who are of an age or older who are financially more secure and not have a more diverse cross-section of the community. I'd like to see, I'd like, you know, for example, maybe it's probably a single mother or father who comes on the council who may actually need this allowance to do the job properly. Not everybody is of such a sound financial situation. Like I said, I'm not only in favour of it, but it's not set by us. And I do look towards the future and possible other people who will come into council and serve in the future, and they may actually need this kind of allowance.
Thank you, Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mayor Saville. I totally agree with Councillor Painter in that we really need to start looking to the future of this council, and I totally agree about attracting the right people for the roles that we undertake. And I actually don't agree with that we're hiding it. We're debating it now, live on Facebook, and it's going to be recorded. So we're certainly not trying to hide it because it's there in black and white on what we're trying to achieve. When I first started on this council in 2016, we had about an $80 million budget. That budget is now about $100 million. So therefore, there's a lot more responsibility and accountability that goes along with the role of a councillor. And it's certainly not just this meeting. It is if you choose to just do this meeting. That's the role. You get your pay packet, which is not in the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a minimal amount. And we turn up to briefings. We go to site visits. We're part of committees. And you can choose to do all of that, or you can choose to do none of that. And if you want to just turn up to this monthly meeting and collect your money, then you're obligated to do that. But there's also civic duties that we undertake. And I think that the community need to be aware of that. We get, I guess, shoved under the banner of all politicians in state and federal level, where the pays that they get are quite significant. At a local government level, it's not like that. As you can see in the original report, it was $25,000 a year to spend anywhere from 20, 30, 40 hours a week. Depends on how much you decide to put into your local community. And if you do add up all of the collection of fees, it's actually a very minimal percentage of our overall budget. For the people that are accountable and responsible for the entire local government area, I think that it is a full-time job, and I think that the newer councillors certainly acknowledge that now. It is, you take on a huge responsibility. And if we do in the future want to encourage people to put their hand up to represent their community, they have to take a bit of a backward step in their employment. But you do that willingly, knowing that that's the expectation. It's so hard to work full-time, have a business, have a family, and want to represent your community without getting any remuneration for that. And something to point out is, while we vote on this, it's actually done by an independent tribunal. They are the people that set the parameters around the amount that we get paid. And there's grades for each council. So while some councils can say, yes, you know, we are giving ourselves a pay rise, we have to vote on this. Is it uncomfortable too? Yeah, absolutely. But it's set by an independent tribunal. And I think that we should be encouraging more people to put their hand up to have a positive way forward for this council. And to do that, you have to offer something for them to be able to get in return, and I fully support this.
Councillor Groen.
Thank you, Mayor Saville. I just wanted to say, in particular, that I take offence to the idea that we are trying to hide this from the community. Me personally as well, because I don't believe that anyone here on this council is here for the money. I'm sorry, but it's not a big lot of money for the amount of work that we're putting in. I know personally how much work I have to put in, and certain other councillors here, and at no point is it worth any of the actual money. And it's out of our hands. It's actually set by the tribunal. So yeah, I do take offence to the point that Councillor Olson is making, that we're trying to hide this from the community. That is not the way that we work, and not the way that I work. Thank you.
Councillor Jove.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to state, I just ran for council and had nothing to do with the money. I didn't know how much we got paid. Couldn't care less, to be honest. And there's a lot of people out there, if they knew what was involved to be a councillor, would have put their hand up too. Yes, there is a lot of things you do that does require, you know, some sort of compensation. But I don't think that it really affects your job that much. Not if you are here for the community. Yes, there's a lot of emails. Yes, there's a lot of phone calls. Yes, and there is a lot of events and stuff that we can be going to. I personally am juggling my business, plus this, plus raising a young child. And I would do it again and again and again for $0 because I'm here for the community. But you can shake your head and whatever about it if you think that I'm about money, because if you actually looked at my bank account, you'd realise money doesn't mean anything to me. Thank you.
Councillor Moores.
Thank you. Councillor Jewett, I can guarantee you, I'm self-employed, and today I haven't been to work because I had to go to South Cessnock and look at some flooding issues. I had to go to another place at Cessnock and look at a B&B that's going up, and then had to come here to the first meeting I was here for. It was around about 2 o'clock, and I'm still here tonight. So, to me, it's not all about the money. And I didn't earn any money today. So everything is give and take. That's all I can tell you. But I'm not here for the money. I can guarantee you, unless I'm working for 15 cents per hour. Thank you.
No further debate. We'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grine, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, Painter, Saville. Those against, Councillors Olson and Jerv. After they're carried. Moving on to report CC 39 2022, March 2022, review of the 2017-21 delivery program. Councillor moving that way. Moving that way, Councillor Burke seconded Councillor Grine. Speaking, Councillor Olson.
Yes, I want to get clarification. Have we already deferred works out of the delivery program for next financial year?
Correct. Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So, yes, we did at the December quarterly budget review.
Yeah, so that's, they're not part of this report, are they? If they're already deferred.
No, Councillor.
So that means we're still...
Sorry, we just pressed the button again, Councillor.
So that means this delivery program is still we're still behind and there's four at risk and five are not due to start. That's a real concern because every year we seem to be setting record budgets, but that's of course what we're deferring so much. We need to get on top of it, and I don't know how we do it, but someone in our works department needs to get on top of this, and no excuses, actions is what I want to see.
Councillor Painter.
This was addressed partially at one of the meetings we had as councillors, that we're employing, I believe, five new project managers to help push the works forward. So I know the staff are aware of the problem. They've addressed the problem to us as councillors, and they have my support in trying to attain more staff, and I certainly want to see more things delivered for the community, and how we do that is by employing more staff, employing the right staff, and getting things done. And I believe that our directors and our people who work with council are quite aware of that.
Done.
Thank you, Mayor Saval. I just like to point councillors to the letter that we received from the Director of Works on the 16th of May that went through the issues surrounding the way we deliver all of our projects at the moment and the constraints around COVID and the inability to source materials and the ongoing inclement weather and so on and so on. And I've lost count of the amount of workshops I've been to on this. And I'm sure that those people that whinge the most about the amount we get paid, if they actually turned up to all of those briefings like we all do, they might actually know this without having a go at directors and other people within the staff about this.
Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I just ask a question to the Director of Works and Infrastructure, do you know off the top of your head how much we are spending this year on capital works versus last year, or the general manager or somebody?
Yes, my apologies, Mr. Mayor. I'm new to the microphones. I can tell you that we are on track to have a record capital spend this year for Cessnock Council. At the moment, we're sitting at the end of April close to $23 million spent, which is a record from about 3 years ago. We would expect that in May and June that would accelerate further. Whether we get to our final budget or result, I'm not quite sure yet.
Thank you, Ms. Van. I do appreciate apologies for putting you on the spot, but I guess I take on the point that some might be disappointed that we're having to defer works for many that were out of our control, as Councillor Dunn has alluded to, and we do get the information at briefings on a way forward and how we're dealing with that, so it's comforting to get that information at those meetings. But pick up that while we do have a deferral, we're looking at a record spend this year in capital works. So that's money on the ground. That's things being delivered for this community. I'm certainly not disappointed about that.
Thank you. No further debate. We'll now put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Moving on to CC43 2022 Quarterly Budget Review Statement, March 2022. Moving that way, Councillor Hill, seconded Councillor Sander. Speaking, Councillor Olson.
Yeah, a question, if I may, might be, our acting general manager might be able to answer this. It's stating in here operating surplus of $5 million. That means we have, they're not, that $5 million isn't allocated to anything?
Probably a question for the Chief Financial.
Yes, actually about $2 million of it is restricted of the prepayment from the financial assistance grant that was larger than we expected. So that amounts to about $2.4 million. The rest is pretty much sales from Vineyard Grove, which has still to be terminally sitting in the property investment fund.
Okay.
Sorry.
This time last year, we had a delivery project, a quarterly budget review come through, and it said that we were looking at $5 million surplus last year, I think it was, might have been, I'm not sure what it was, something like that. And at the end, we end up with a $10 million deficit. Are we going to still, well, that surplus has got to come down now, as we've just been told, but it's been allocated to something. There was only $3 million surplus. Are we going to get the same results this year? Is the same thing going to happen or not?
Thank you, Councillor Olson. I can answer the first part of your question in relation to that surplus coming down. If everything remains the same, that surplus won't move because we've already recorded the income in for the prepayment of the financial assistance grant. Excuse me. We will transfer that to reserve at the year end, but that's a cash movement. It's not a profit loss outcome. And the other money we've recognised from Vineyard Grove will be transferred to reserve, but again, that won't affect our profit and loss result. So if everything stays the same, we should have a $5 million surplus. I'll defer to the CFO in relation to the result from last year and whether or not that will be replicated this year, and I know that is touched on in the report.
Sorry, we're deferring the question to the CFO.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My apologies for my croaky voice. There is still that inherent risk that we will have asset disposals written off as we complete our capitalisations. As noted in aspects of the report in the risk implications, we believe that is covered by existing costs that may be sitting there through vacancies throughout the year in salaries and wages. It's still a little bit more work to do. It's unlikely that we're going to have a result similar to last year.
That's good to know. I guess having a deficit last year, we need to get back to where we were with our finances. I know a deficit is not a debt. We'd have to repay. A deficit is not a good sign if your value of what you have goes down. You're going backwards. You need to keep going forwards. So I'm hoping that we maintain the surplus, and next year we put more money into getting a bigger delivery program, fix more roads, and because I'm still waiting for Mount View Road to be finished and other streets are getting done.
Okay, no further debate. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour, it's unanimous. Moving on, report number WI28 2022, Booth Park Netball Facility, Curry. Moving that way, Councillor Grind, seconded Councillor Hill. Speaking on that, Councillor Grind.
Thank you, Mayor Savelle. I just wanted to say that I'd like to congratulate Council and everyone that's worked so hard on getting the plans ready for Booth Park for the relocation of the Curry Netball Courts. And can I just say that seeing the looks on those kids' faces being down there, it gives them a sense of pride and, you know, and the enthusiasm for the town. It's just going to mean so much. And I'd just like to reiterate, you know, a big thank you to the guys that have promised their promises for Labor and Liberal, the Merrill Swanson and Brooke for putting that commitment down for Curry Curry. And I'd just like to say a big thank you. Thank you very much from our town, Curry.
Councillor Moores.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor, for your kind remarks. I was at Saturday. I have nothing to do, I had no work on, so I decided I'd do a bit of council work and shoot down to Booth Park, where I was joined by Councillor Painter, and he will tell you, we walked on that park and walked off hard and shoes in my hand because they went over it. It's a disgrace. And it was eye-opening, to say the most, for me to go there and to see the conditions that them kids have had and not known about it. And it's a shame that something hasn't been done here in the past. But I can all say to them now is, we've got plenty of money to move forward, and hope you get what you deserve. Thank you.
Councillor Painter.
Yeah, I'm just really excited for the people of Curry and for my granddaughters who will no doubt in the coming years will use that facility. And it's been a great effort by all those involved, council, councillors, and the stakeholders, both sides of politics who have committed a good sum of money to this project. So congratulations to all those involved.
Thank you. We'll now put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 30/2022. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could just move an alternate recommendation, if that's okay. That the General Manager brings back a report to Council. With possible sites for an RV dump point in the Cessnock CBD area. That's how I'm moving that.
Moving that way, seconded, Councillor Sander.
And I just quickly, so I can explain why we do it, why I want to do that is, obviously there's considerable amount of money needed to be spent at Turner Park. Speaking to some people that have caravans and RVs, it may not be the most ideal location. In the report, you'll note that it's not expensive for us to be able to put in an RV dump point. And I think that we do need one in the Cessnock CBD, because the other one that we have that is in the area is behind closed gates, and you need to pay to get in there. So I think that we do need to look at one in the CBD area, and perhaps Turner Park is in that. So hopefully this report will be able to guide us in where we can get one.
And so just for the minutes, we're removing that first sentence.
Yes.
It has been moved, so it's just the second sentence. Speaking, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Right, look, caravans, dump points, yes, but I wouldn't want one in Vincent Street. I think what we need to be doing is looking for a good location, and if I was to recommend a location, I'd be looking at the showground, where we get a lot of caravans.
We've got one. Sorry.
Well, we don't
sorry, we're not debating across the chamber now. Councillor Olsen's speaking.
It's not locked. It's always open. Because people stay there. Open 24 hours a day. So why can't you use that? What's wrong with that? Why would you put another one in? How many are you doing?
Okay.
I didn't know the research.
So we're not debating across the chamber. Councillor Olsen has the floor and has now concluded his statement.
Well, I didn't realise that there was one at the showground. I didn't know that. I just don't understand why we put another one. How many do you need? I think it's ridiculous that we don't have that. We've got one in Curry, we've got one in how many dump points do we need? I don't think we need any more than what we've got. I can't understand why we have to have more and more of them, because if you're in a caravan and you're going to be staying in Cessnock area, you could be going over to that showground anyway, and all you need to do is put them on the caravan's travelling map and not know where the dump points are. I'll go find them if they need them. And, you know, I just think we're wasting our core of council's time and money on trying to find another spot closer to the CBD. I just imagine that when people go shopping on a Saturday morning.
Councillor Hawkins.
Mr. Mayor, I'd only, I may for once almost agree with Councillor Olsen
but only to the point where in Vincent Street, maybe the CBD is not the right location for these, but I certainly see the benefits in them. The one at Abermain Bowling Club's quite frequently used. I've spoken to members of the club that think it's the best thing they've ever done as far as attracting visitors to that area. But when they're there, they're using the club's facilities as well, which is a revenue generation for the club. So I see these as, you're right, they have to be located somewhere that's suitable for it, but I certainly think it would be an asset for our area and something that our council could provide. The Great Nomad thing, the caravan, there's a year's wait to get a caravan now. It's a very popular thing. And the more we can attract those people to our area, I think the better off we will be. Would be just another example of tourism providing for our area. And what a wonderful thing it is, and now we can capture it. So I'm happy to support the motion.
Right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend that, if I may, and take out the letter CBD. So it is in the Cessnock area. And that $470 million that gets injected into this local community through tourism are people that drive in with their caravans and their RVs. We need them to visit. And we should not expect someone to drive into this town and have to pay to use an RV dump point at the showground. It's my understanding that you can't just turn up at that point. But why shouldn't we have one that's more accessible in town? Because if they stop in town, they spend money. They keep people employed, they keep shops open, and they keep this economy going in our local area. This isn't about wasting rate money on something that's not going to be used. And how can you drive into Cessnock and then expect someone to go to Abermain or Curry or drive to Brankston to use the free RV dump points and then come back to Cessnock to spend money? It's not how tourism works. We need one in Cessnock, and this motion supports that. And if you don't support this, then you don't support tourism in this town.
Sorry, just before we move on, Councillor Sandy, you're happy to accept that amendment?
Right.
Okay, debate has closed.
I know the debate's closed, but I would like to have a point to that.
Can we?
Can't.
The debate's closed on.
It would be sensible that our council contacts our council coordinator for him to do a survey of the community.
Councillor Olsen, the debate has closed on the thing, so I need to put the motion. I will put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Jackson, Moores, Dunn, Burke, Grine, Sander, Hill, Hawkins, Painter and Saval. Those against? Councillors Olsen and Jurd. I'll declare it carried. Report WI 31/2022. Councillor Hill.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll move that way for this and this item.
Moving that way. And seconded Councillor Sander. Speaking, Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Sander has spoken quite extensively on the issues, as well as Councillor Grine, the flooding issues in Appleton Avenue and Hospital Road. And in this report, it details the council's plans to identify issues in these locations and produce detailed designs for the resolution of these issues, and then also phase three of implementing the construction of resolutions to these flooding issues. I believe this is a good outcome, although the timelines may operate better under a short time frame. However, flooding issues are not localised only to this area in the whole LGA, and the council has a plan in place to identify and resolve flooding issues across the entire LGA, and I don't wish to move any additional points for the recommendation, but I would just like to pose a question to the Director of Works and Infrastructure in regards to the possibility of a councillor workshop being held sometime in future to help especially us new councillors better understand what the scope of the flood programs for the council are and what the priorities of these issues are across the LGA.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor Hill, that could be arranged just to inform councillors on how the flood studies are and what are the priorities. Yes.
Okay, Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we need to add an extra dot point in that regard? Do we have a workshop?
No, we don't need to. It will just happen in due course.
Well, could I just talk about the flooding? Yeah. So I brought this up as a norm to council in regard to the major flooding issues at Appleton Avenue and Hospital Road. The residents down there have been inundated over the last 6 months, obviously with the continuing rain. Every time it does rain, they are inundated with water. Floodwaters, and we certainly need to look at our options for this area and our flood mitigation options. And if we can have a rethink of when we do things and how we can do it and how we can get it done much quicker, that would be certainly a bonus for these, not only the residents of Appleton Avenue and Hospital Road, but certainly all the flooded affected areas that we have actually increased over the last 6 months and identified the stuff that has caused us grief and angst to the community. So if we can have that workshop and identify the areas and certainly look at our priorities, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Councillor Moores.
Yeah, following this, flooding is a nuisance as well as Western, but also I'd like to see in this workshop that also South Cessnock be looked at also, which is also why I was down there today and have a look. It is very, very wet. There's people that has been fighting for this for many, 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 many years and keep coming up against a brick wall. So I think South Cessnock should be included into this flooding survey and workshop. Thank you.
Councillor Painter.
Yeah, just to clarify, Mr. Mayor, that the workshop is to have somebody of more of an expert nature to prioritise that which is the most urgent, because like as much as Councillor Sanders is passionate about Western and Councillor Moores is passionate about South Cessnock, I'm sure there's everybody in this room is passionate about their own wards. So if we have somebody who actually has some expertise on this, so we can get a bit of an order which way we should attack this problem.
Thank you. Yes, I think it's the answer. Okay, we'll now put the motion.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
If I could.
Yeah.
Is there any flooding in Walvi? Is that an issue?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor.
So that would be included in the workshop. We know what the AMY.
Yes.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, it will be looking at flooding issues and studies across the whole of the LGA, not just related to Cessnock area.
Okay, we'll now put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 33, 2022, Darwood Road, East Brankston, petition for pathway. Moving that way, Councillor Hill. Seconded Councillor Sander. Speaking, Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In a similar vein to the previous item moved, I'd like to acknowledge the issues that have been raised in this petition from the residents of Delwood Road, East Brankston, or the Brankston wider community that have signed the petition. We see all councillors in this room would agree that there are a multitude of pathway and footpath issues all across the LGA, and each one of us would argue quite heavily for our own area, and especially around the schools of the LGA, to have improved pathways. So in a similar vein, I would put a question to the Director of Works on the possibility of a workshop to be held that covers our pedestrian access and mobility plan, as well as the Cessnock cycling strategy, to help us identify the current priorities in place underneath these plans, additionally the possibility of whether these plans need to maybe be revised, and just to give all councillors an idea of how we can best direct our priorities across the entire LGA, because as much as these petitions do help us to identify the issues, we can't operate month to month diverting our attention here to there. We need to look at the LGA holistically. Thank you.
Director?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So, yes, Councillor, a workshop on both those strategies can be arranged to inform all councillors of the current priorities and the where the strategies are up to.
Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, in regard to the priorities and the strategies, the residents at East Frankston spoke to me and thought the petition was a good way to reiterate their issues. They've got a major issue coming from East Frankston, but we certainly need to look at it, like Councillor Hill said, we need to look at it holistically. Our school areas are our biggest focus because they are, that's where the kids go and that's where the safety issues stem from. But certainly we need to look at how we do all our pathway strategies, and the review will be fantastic because we've had a lot of influx of new residents. We've had some subdivisions rebuilt in the area, extra families coming into town. Certainly they need access to their schools. If they need access to the schools, we've got to provide pathways. So certainly it'll be fantastic when we have our workshop, look at what we have on our priority list currently, and if there's an opportunity to revisit and look at that, I think every councillor in this chamber would certainly take on board. If there's a greater number of people in one patch, well, we'll certainly look at that and move our funds accordingly. Thank you.
Councillor Olson.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. I agree there's a lot of pathways that need to be done in a lot of areas, and I think it's to encourage a healthy lifestyle. You need, if you've got good walking paths, more people will get out and walk, and that's a positive. The thing that I'm worried about is we had money to finish off Mountview Road footpath, which is highly used by school kids, the elderly that live in aged care facility, to walk around Audi and shopping centre. From that footbridge to Wanambai Road, it's supposed to have been done 6 or 7 years ago. Council, in its wisdom, moved the money away from there to another area because they were doing the development of their police boys club there until that was finished. Now that's finished and it's not back in the budget anywhere, that 200 metres. And it's a true hazard, especially when something older people walk from there. Living quarters there around into the shopping centres. So I need to find out if we can get that back into the plan, because it's one of the busiest footpaths in Cessnock LGA. It benefits the whole Mountview High School, the sporting facilities out there, people who's walking to the jail, people who's that live around that area, and it benefits both Port N and Port A and B because it's on the same street. So I need to know. I don't have a problem getting down the road done, or any other road done if we've got the money, but it's a priority system we need to have, and we need to have it in place, but we need to make sure we can go back and fix up the road, the footpath that we never done, but it's a trip hazard at the moment, the same people using it, and it was a priority in this about 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember exactly when, it was before the mayor's time, so it was turned before that, I'm just not sure when, but I just, if we could put that in there somewhere to make sure that we get on with that as well. Thank you.
Can I suggest that you come to the workshop to discuss this strategy that has just been spoken about, or send in a question
Or four, I mean.
Seek a point of clarification.
Is that, I don't.
The footpath, the Mount View Road footpath, wasn't it the developer's responsibility as part of the redevelopment, and that's why we reallocated that funding?
We're not here to probably debate the issues of that tonight, and it's not really relevant to this motion that's in front of us.
I think it is relevant when the director was just asked to go and look at why it was done. That be investigated. I'm happy for it to come back as part of the answer, as to why it was.
If I could just go back here, that was a statement made about it and talking about the workshop, which was mentioned by Councillor Hill, but isn't actually in relation to this motion, which is in regards to a petition for a pathway on Darwin Road, East Brenxton. Can I suggest that, as councillors have sort of mentioned before, that we all have projects that are of issue and interest to us all, and that we all take a keen interest in this workshop and attend and have the discussion and work out what is the priority list and strategy going forward, because this motion is not about that.
Can I ask that a question be taken on notice?
You can ask a question, but Councillor Dunn has the Councillor Dunn will have the floor, because you would need to speak again. You were speaking on a point of order or point of clarification when. So I will hand the floor to Councillor Dunn, who was next in.
Thank you, Ms. Vale, and I would like to ask that question on notice too, because I was of the impression that that particular path was associated with the development of the soccer ground, not the development of the building. But I totally agree with the direction we're going with this, because although these residents have raised this in the form of a petition, basically every school in the LGA has issues around footpaths that move away from schools, and I can think of West Cessnock and Bellbird being two of them in particular that we've dealt with over the last 12 months in particular. But yeah, I just want to support the direction and us reviewing that policy and hopefully that'll just encompass everything that covers these footpaths specifically around schools.
And as the director will take that on notice, is that's yes?
Yes.
Councillor Sandra, have you already spoken yet?
Yeah, I've just got a question, Mr. Mayor.
Question?
Thank you. It's best, question to the Director of Works and Infrastructure. The footpath and cycleway projects that council currently does and continues to do, what opportunities are there still for grant fundings for these projects?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So there is grant funding available for paths and cycleways. The thing that's really helped us with our grant program is our PAM and our cycleway strategy. Having those two strategies and the priorities have really helped us get all the footpaths currently that we've got with grant money. So those strategies are the ones that we should be focusing on and pushing through grants.
Thank you.
Okay, no further debate. We'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Unanimous. Moving on to report WI 34 2022 Frankston Sound Centre petition for pathway. Someone moving that way. Councillor Hill seconded. Councillor Sander. We've just had the debate on this one as well, so no further debate. Let's put that motion. All those in favour. It's unanimous. And report number WI 35 2022 pedestrian access Elizabeth Street, Abermain. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to move an alternate, and it is on the screen for councillors, that council requests that the general manager arrange a site visit for community consultation to take place at an appropriate location. That further report come back to council, taking into consideration community feedback from the on-site meeting.
Move that way. Seconded, Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that we just need to ensure that we've spoken to all of the residents that use the subway in Abermain, the Elizabeth Street entry point. I know it's an ongoing issue, but I think that we just need to get to the bottom of it and find out and ensure what we're doing for the community down there. I do note that the only pedestrian access for those residents is by Charles Street, and there is a CRM that's been put in regards to the clearing of the shrub and the bush area that overlap the Charles Street. Sometimes you can't get a pram through there, so I appreciate that the staff are going to look into that, but I think hopefully we can get to the bottom of this very soon.
Thank you, the Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Might I suggest, Councillor, that the motion as it's written is probably contradictory, where it says create a site visit at an appropriate location. Maybe it might be better read that the General Manager arranged for community consultation to be taken at an appropriate location.
That's perfect. So, four in there where you're at now. Yep, so happy with that change, Councillor Burke, Councillor Sander. Any further debate? No further debate. I will put the motion. It's unanimous. And Councillor reports. No Councillor reports. I'll now close the meeting.